God's plan is cosmic in its scale. His goal is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So Ephesians is about the big picture of God's purposes. These started before the creation of the world, and they will run to their goal of Jesus Christ taking up the supremacy over the whole universe. Now, we're in church, you know, and you know, people say this kind of stuff from the front, but this is pretty amazing what is being said here. Jesus Christ taking up the supremacy over the whole universe. And it turns out that under Christ, the church is at the center of God's purposes throughout history. Yes, the church, little old church, seemingly so irrelevant to many of our contemporaries. This global community of men and women, boys and girls, drawn from all nationalities and drawn from people down through the centuries, is caught up in God's epic plan. And God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. So the letter to the Ephesians tells us that the universe and the church have the same person in charge, the same head, which is Jesus Christ. So that means that Jesus Christ isn't actually just for churchy people. He's not just in charge of sort of what goes on here on a Sunday. He's actually in charge of the whole show. And it's good to know that you're in the right place on Sunday morning, isn't it? You could have stayed in bed, could have gone to the park. But Ephesians tells us that the church is where the action is. Although I know it doesn't always feel like that. God's eternal purpose is a story that Christ Church is part of. We're part of this story. It's a story that each person, each family that God has given faith to are part of. And it's a wonderful and exciting thing. So if the church is so important in God's big plan, then it means that how we relate to each other in the church is very important. And Paul's letter goes on to give guidance about how we're to live together as a new society. He writes, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." How we relate to each other really matters. Now, I know this is a slightly embarrassing thing to do, but just for a moment, could you take a look around the room at some of the other people here? I know it feels slightly awkward, but just have a look at some of the faces here. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How each of us relates to one another really matters in God's eternal cosmic plan. So this morning we're going to listen to the whole letter read. Why do that? Well, if you follow our teaching programs here on Sundays, you'll know that normally we hear a talk on about a passage up to about a chapter of Scripture. And this is a great thing to do. It helps us to take the individual verses seriously as we seek to understand them and apply them to our lives. But the Bible was written as 66 separate documents, 66 separate books. That's how it was originally written. And they weren't collated until a few hundred years after Jesus lived and died. By that I mean they weren't put into a book form until that point, because books didn't exist until then. They were on separate scrolls up to that point. And the chapters and verses were only added later on. So the basic unit of the Bible is a book, is each book: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. And this morning we have the opportunity to listen to Ephesians as a whole. It was a letter written by Paul to the fledgling churches of his day. And listening to the whole letter can help us to get the big picture and observe some themes that the book teaches that we might miss when we just look at it passage by passage. There's the old proverb, isn't there, about not being able to see the wood for the trees, not being able to see the forest because you're always looking at the individual trees. Well, this morning is an opportunity to look at the forest. Now, you may find listening to the whole letter difficult to concentrate. It's going to take about 20 minutes for us to read. We don't do this sort of thing very often, and we live in a world where we have constant emails and texts distracting us, putting pressure on our attention span. Plus, Ephesians is quite dense. It contains quite a lot of theology. But may I encourage you to give it your best shot. If you get hold of what Paul is writing about, it will broaden your view of Jesus and of his church in an awe-inspiring way. Now, when you came in, hopefully you got a sermon handout, which can help you this morning. And as we listen, please do whatever you find helps you to engage. Well, whatever helps you within reason. Close your eyes if you want to. Look out for keywords. Take notes on that, if that will help. Follow in the Bible if that helps you. Equally, just sit and listen if you prefer. Well, let's make a start. Let's find Ephesians. It's on page 1173 in the Church Bibles. And John's going to come up to read the first chapter for us.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, with an undying love.
Great. Well, well done for listening. Let's just take a moment to digest that and maybe just share with the person next to you maybe one thing that struck you or one thing that you heard from that reading. We'll just have a couple of minutes for that. Well, I wonder what you think life and the universe and everything are all about. Paul is quite clear. He thinks that the most important person in the universe is Jesus Christ, and that the goal and purpose of the universe is the bringing of all things in heaven and on earth together under his headship. It's pretty profound and amazing claim. And it's quite exciting to actually have an answer to that question, you know, what is life, the universe and everything all about? John Stott boils the subject matter of this letter down to this heading, God's New Society. And he gives a helpful overview of the content of Paul's letter. This clicker doesn't seem to work, unfortunately. Thank you. It's on the handout as well. He divides it into four sections, four chunks. Firstly, the new life which God has given us in Christ. Secondly, the new society which God has created through Christ, of which Christ Church is part. The new standards which God expects of his new society, especially in relation to our unity together and our purity. And lastly, the new relationships into which God has brought us. That's harmony in the home and hostility to the devil. Well, I wonder if you picked any of that up as we went through. Jesus loves the church, the letter tells us. The church is God's new society, and it is the forerunner of the future. Those key verses again. God has a plan to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. So the letter starts with the big picture of Jews and Gentiles coming together through the cross into union with Christ. It starts big picture, but as it progresses, it drills down into the nitty-gritty ethical implications of living in this reality. So because Jesus rules over the whole universe, it therefore matters how we live now, day to day. And people don't always make that link. It's an important link. Paul teaches about the importance of striving for unity in the church, for integrity and for godly living. He teaches about living together in households, husbands and wives, children and parents. And the big picture, the cosmic perspective, shows us that the Christian life is a battle. Ephesians 6:12. Can we go forward a slide? Thank you. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, so it's not against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, when he talks about heaven and earth being brought together, it's not just about people, but it's about spiritual powers also coming under his headship. So when we talk about the Christian life being a battle, what is the key battle? I wonder what you think it is. In Ephesians, the key battle is staying united as a church. The devil and the evil spiritual rulers want to destroy the church because the church under Christ's headship is at the center of God's big plan. So they want to do away with it. They want to break it up. They want to break our relationships here. They want to break relationships between churches and on the bigger scale. Because the church is so significant in God's eternal purposes. So the key battle is staying united. And that's what the armour of God is about. Often, if you know that passage, we tend to think of it individualistically, that we sort of pray through it and put on the armour, so to speak, ourselves. But the armour is all about us together as a community, getting ready, standing firm in the battle, that we might stay united. The devil wants to disconnect the church. So we hold on to our faith, we fight for our unity, and we fight for integrity in the church. Being under the headship of Christ is the way that the universe is going. So submitting to Christ means going with the grain of God's purposes, his purposes for the whole universe. In contrast, when we ignore Christ, when we deny him, when we reject his teaching, we're going against the grain of God's big plan. So the call is to get in line with God's plan now. Be future people. Be people who are coming into step with the way the universe is headed. So being part of this new society and seeking to live faithfully in it, well, these are the best things that we can do with our lives. May I encourage you to give yourself to Christ afresh. Maybe come to Christ for the first time. He's the head over the whole universe. Can we go forward one more? And if you're not a Christian, may I encourage you to come to Christianity Explored to find out more. Come and discover Jesus from Mark's Gospel. And we've got two different options, Saturday morning and Thursday evening. Forms are available at the back if you're interested. And may I encourage you to come to the 11 a.m. service each week. We're going to go, we're going to come down from the forest into the trees and look at a few trees each week. Why not commit to come every time if you can, so you can get the whole picture? The future isn't orange, the future is Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's letter and the amazing cosmic picture that it gives us. From the before the beginning of the world right through to Jesus being in charge of the whole universe. And we thank you that in the church, in Christ's church, we can be forerunners of that. We can be in line with the way things are going. Thank you that you've called us. And we thank you for this precious family. We want to ask for your blessing upon us and for your grace that we might remain united, that we would strive with all of our hearts to be united for your sake, because this is the way the universe is made. So please, you bless us as we study this letter over the coming weeks. Please help us to engage with it. And please would you teach of us, each of us individually at our point of need, that we might be built up and grow into maturity, finding our place in the body, finding our ministry and how to serve others. And we ask all this for your glory. Amen.